relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Welcome, dear friends. This is America First One-on-One with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, and a very special guest here. We are always delighted to have a longer discussion. I'm a long-form radio guy. I learned on the knee of John Batchelor, the maestro. And when we have an opportunity to go deep dive with the real experts, the newsmakers, for more than just one or two segments, it's always a delight to do that with one of our regular guests, and he has been a great supporter of this show. He is one of the true journalists left in America, and there's only a handful of them. He is the founder of JustTheNews.com, a good friend of the Salem Network. John Solomon, welcome to America First One-on-One.
Yeah, great to be with you, Seb.
So you come on the show every week, usually the night before about 10 p.m. You'll text me some big breaking story, an exclusive that you guys have at JustTheNews.com. You're an incredible asset to people who really want the truth and not the fake news. For those who missed our last longer discussion, which was at least a year ago, if not more, let's do a little biopic on John Solomon, because you come from a police family. You've had a long history of working in the big name news media. Then you broke out by yourself. So give us a little potted version of how you came to be where you are today, John.
Yeah, listen, I grew up in a family full of Irish cops, and I think I was expected to be a cop, but I wanted to write. I loved meeting people. And so I did spend some time working cell block in a courthouse, putting myself through school. But when that was done, you know, I became a journalist, and I worked at the Associated Press Wire Service for more than 20 years, then retired there, went to become the lead national investigative correspondent for the Washington Post, and was promoted to the editor of the Washington Times, ran the Hill TV's new television division when that started in 17, and then decided, you know what, I want to create my own organization. I saw my profession drift away from truth and towards agenda setting, meaning it didn't matter whether the story was true or not, it mattered whether it helped set an agenda. I want to reverse that tide or resist that tide. And so in 2020, I created Just the News, a site that's, well, what its name says, which is we just do news. We don't have opinion pieces. I just want to give people facts. And one of our promises is we'll be transparent with you. So everything we gather in our news stories at Just the News, the video, the audio, the documents, all of the research we've done, we put into a separate tab called the Dig In Tool. And you can look at everything and check us out. Make up your own mind. You don't have to take our word for it. We're not so arrogant as to think you have to take our word like the New York Times does. We let you see the stuff and make up your own mind. And we're now 2 years strong. We have about 8 million readers a month now, and we're excited.
Well, that's fabulous. Congratulations, John, in just 2 years to be so successful. And also, say a little bit about where people can catch you every evening.
Yeah, to my mother's amazement, I have a TV show. It's called Just News, Not Noise. She always says, oh, man, those makeup artists, they're miracle workers. I'm like, thanks, Mom. I appreciate that. Yeah, every night at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time on Real America's Voice, we have a show called Just the News, Not Noise with my great co-host, Amanda Head. We have great interviews. We don't do opinion. We just do news. We try to break stories and bring really valuable newsmakers on to help people understand the world we're in, the country we're in, and the state of the Biden presidency.
All right, Just the News, Not Noise on Real America's Voice. You can follow him at J Solomon Reports on Twitter. And then you must bookmark right now justthenews.com. Also, we'll discuss it momentarily. He is the co-author of a superb book, Fallout: Nuclear Bribes, Russian Spies, and the Washington Lies That Enriched the Clinton and Biden Dynasties. We shall discuss that as well. But as we talk about your career over the decades with some of the biggest names in journalism, will you walk us through those decades and what you have seen happen to your profession, which drove you to create Just the News, John? So give us a breakdown of what you witnessed and how it contrasted to what you were learning at the beginning of your career.
Yeah, listen, I was taught in the first days of journalism school, you don't have an opinion. Walk into the newsroom and leave that opinion at the door and never drag it in, which meant you treated everyone fairly. You let the facts be the facts. You didn't try to hijack someone's thinking. You just let them make up their own mind. And for most of the first 20 years of my career, I was lucky enough to work at a place, the AP, that believed that at the time. And I practiced journalism. And the funny thing is, I practiced journalism the same way I did it in 1993. But the profession around me has changed in such a significant way. And I noticed that change in the summer of 2007 in a really significant way. I think I've shared this anecdote with you before, Seb. I was in the middle of the Washington Post newsroom, was lead national investigative correspondent for the newspaper, having a blast. I had a front page byline for the first time in my life after being an anonymous wire service reporter for so long. And the Scooter Libby verdict came down. He was the former chief of staff to Dick Cheney, who was accused of leaking the identity of a CIA asset named Valerie Plame. And he was convicted of his crimes. And three quarters of the Washington Post newsroom got up when the verdict was being announced on TV and cheered it like it was something that they wanted to happen. I was shocked. I had never seen such an expression of opinion in the newsroom. In fact, I stopped voting when I became a professional journalist because I believed that it would. Yeah, I just believe. Listen, how can you go and tell the American public you're being fair to both candidates when you chose one in the secrecy of a ballot box? So I haven't voted since I moved into political journalism, and I can't wait to one day when I can do that again. But seeing that in the sacred floor of a newsroom shook me. I remember going into the editor of the paper and saying, this is wrong. And to his credit, he came out briefly and scolded everybody for that terrible display. But I realized for the first time that there was a liberation going on, that reporters thought they could have their own opinion and still be credible. Then Twitter really took on fire in 2009 and 10. And all of a sudden, every inner opinion that journalists had was smashed onto the social media platforms, and any semblance of neutrality was lost. And really, that's all we can be as journalists. I know a lot of people talk about objectivity. You can't be objective. Every decision you make as a journalist is objective. What's my headline? What's my photo? What people am I going to quote? What people are not going to quote? All you can do is be neutral. Make sure that both sides get the same treatment in your story. And that has become a lost art, or a rare art. It's almost as extinct as Jurassic Park dinosaurs. And I really worry about that, because that's what made our profession credible for more than 100 years. We were neutral. We treated conservatives and Democrats the same way.
Yeah, to have a very political figure found quote unquote guilty and then to have a newsroom at the Washington Post cheer is truly the antithesis of journalism, especially, John, let's just be clear here. Scooter Libby wasn't the guilty culprit. We now know Dick Armitage was the person that actually leaked Palm's identity, and everybody in D.C. knew it, didn't they?
Yeah. Listen, the understory had never really been told. And, eventually President Trump pardoned Scooter Libby, something that George W. Bush wouldn't do. And I think made right of a wrong there. But the town is a swamp. It is an incestuous town. If you had any doubt, just watch how Liz Cheney and Benny Thompson worked together to smear the name of a congressman. You know, this is something that we were broke recently. But for 6-7 weeks, the media, the bureaucrats in the government, and both the uniparty performance of Benny Thompson and Liz Cheney voiced a story upon the American public that there was a congressman so vile that he cased the joint. He actually ran a surveillance and reconnaissance mission with the January 6th perpetrators a day in advance so they would have the lay of the land. Pretty stark accusation, really an accusation of treason, if you ask me. The congressman has always denied it. Well, the Capitol Police looked at all the security tapes, something obviously Benny Thompson and Liz Cheney didn't do when they made the allegation. And they concluded there wasn't a scintilla of evidence that it happened. In fact, oh, by the way, that congressman, Barry Loudermilk, didn't even appear in the Capitol that day. He had stayed in some of the congressional office buildings. It was constituents, not January 6th perpetrators. The entire story was false, like so many of the stories we heard of Russia collusion or Lafayette Park or Ukraine impeachment. False stories brought to you by the same purveyors, Adam Schiff et al. Yet for 6-7 weeks, that story was allowed to perpetrate. How did that happen? Those reporters that used to not cheer now cheer for the outcome of stories. Yeah. And they carry the water of people who now deceive the American public. That's why this is such a serious issue in my mind.
The book is Fallout, Nuclear Bribes, Russian Spies, and the Washington Lies That Enriched the Clinton and Biden Dynasties. It's co-authored with Seamus Bruner. You've got to get it right now. The website is justthenews.com. Bookmark it and follow him at J. Solomon Reports. Truly, this guy breaks more news stories than other news agencies do in a decade. That's why he's a regular guest of the show. If you enjoy America First, especially, we drill down to for a whole hour with our special guests, then make sure you never miss an episode. It's super easy. Go to your favorite podcast platform. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Subscribe. It's absolutely free. Write a review. It really does make a difference. And share the links with your friends and guarantee that you never, ever miss a show. That is America First with Sebastian Gorka on Spotify. This is the Salem News Network. If you haven't done so already, please register for our Stand With Israel tour 10 days later this year in the Holy Land with my Salem colleague Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife Debbie. We are literally going to walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth. Join us for the trip of a lifetime. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. We will be right there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, on the Temple Mount at the Garden of Gethsemane. Register today. Reserve your places. I'm not vaccinated, and I'm going because Israel has revised all of its COVID restrictions. Call today, 855-565-5519, or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. That number, 855-565-5519, or standwithisraeltour.com, standwithisraeltour.com. Dear friends, you know my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll get $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. They took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and out. I've already worn out my first pair of My Slippers, and they're made with the same amazing My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue and lined with real suede. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code Gorka for that massive discount, or just go to mypillow.com and click on the radio listener square and put in the secret code G-O-R-K-A. This offer won't last long. You won't regret it. They are the best slippers I have ever owned. And $90 off MyPillow.com. Do it today. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. John, you have survived the buffeting, the slings and arrows of the establishment lying legacy media, primarily because of your stalwart coverage of the Russia hoax. You were smeared by your quote-unquote colleagues. You have survived. You've created this new entity that so many rely upon, justthenews.com. Will you walk us through the last 5 years for you? And if a Martian landed right now and asked you, what is this about Donald Trump and Russian collusion? Can you give us the Washington elevator pitch of what really happened and how it was spun and your role in uncovering the truth?
Sure, I'd be glad to. It's such an important story because I think it's the modern siren of what is about to happen in American politics. And that is that we have created the capabilities in our military and intelligence agencies that when we need to destabilize an enemy, we're able to create what is called false reality, which is something that feels real but isn't really true. But you can create it through social media, through psyops and other operations. We've had this capability. We've used it effectively in various war fronts before. Well, that's what happened in 2016. A group of Hillary Clinton campaign folks, their opposition research arm, Fusion GPS, a British spy trained in these very skill sets named Christopher Steele, and personally sanctioned by Hillary Clinton. That's very important. Hillary Clinton approved this plan. They set out.
Let me just interject here. And we now know this because of the sworn testimony just a few weeks ago from one of her campaign managers, Robbie Mook, who said, yes, Hillary knew and Hillary told us to do it. So this isn't some, you know, anonymous source saying it. This is sworn testimony by somebody inside the beast at the campaign. Sorry.
Yeah, top of the campaign, and also that she approved it knowing that it might not be true, right? They couldn't validate. That's another important part of Robbie Mook's testimony. I think it's probably more nefarious. What I've seen is a little bit more nefarious than that, that they probably knew it was. And they set out, according to an intercept that U.S. intelligence made in the summer of 2016, that, by the way, was briefed both to President Obama at the time and the FBI, who would later investigate Donald Trump. They set out to voice this false story on the American public, to hang a shingle, a Russian shingle, on Donald Trump's house, to get the attention off of Hillary Clinton's then scandal about her classified emails being on her private server, a security breach that she herself personally committed. So they create a false narrative using the tools that the intelligence and the military community has graded for years to get a bad story off their plate and try to create a false perception that the Republican candidate was a stooge for the Russian government. And they basically flooded the FBI with various different allegations. They came in from Christopher Steele, from Michael Sussman, one of their lawyers, other different places, flooded the media so the media would go to the FBI. And they basically had two legs of the dirty trick. The first leg was that there is a dossier written by a trusted FBI spy, a trusted British spy who had been working with the FBI for years, Christopher Steele. It makes all of these connections between Donald Trump, Inc., and Russia. It turns out almost all of those connections, which were in the so-called Steele dossier, were false. They were contrived. They were made up. They were never verified, and most were disproven.
The large proportion of them were almost a decade-old allegations against Manafort that had been used to smear him years ago.
That's right. The FBI actually investigated him in 2014 and closed down the case, saying there wasn't grounds to investigate him. So that's leg one. Bring in a famous British spy with great connections to the FBI. Have him allege he's proven that Donald Trump is a stooge, and Carter Page and the gang around him, Mike Flynn, Paul Manafort, they're all Russian stooges, and get an investigation started, then leak that investigation so that the American public have a reason not to elect Donald Trump. The second leg of the stool was to take another trusted person of the FBI, Michael Sussman, a lawyer who used to work at the Justice Department, a cybercrimes expert, and say, hey, guess what? Donald Trump has a secret communications channel. He's talking to the Kremlin and Vladimir Putin through a computer connection that was at the Alpha Bank in Russia, a famous Russian bank close to Vladimir Putin. And they dropped that in with data pings and analysis and experts and white papers. And those two things basically launch a 2.5-year FBI investigation. Now, what's remarkable about it is that within a few short weeks, maybe after they got the first FISA, the surveillance warrant to spy on the Trump campaign, nearly everyone who was a career expert in the FBI concluded both of these allegations were false. Michael Sussman saying was determined not only to be unlikely, the CIA actually said it might have been contrived. They might have humanly actually forced these pings to occur to make it look like something nefarious was happening when it wasn't. The second thing was that they did a spreadsheet of the Steele dossier, and they found out 90% of its statements, 9 out of every 10 statements that were included in these memos that became the dossier, were either disproven, could not be corroborated, or were proven to be internet rumor that weren't true, and basically what they call intelligence garbage. Despite that fact, despite that those conclusions were made in the fall of 2016, the FBI sustained an investigation, eventually escalated it to a full special prosecutor's investigation for 2.5 years. The American people were told by Adam Schiff and Hillary Clinton's campaign and James Comey and Andrew McCabe and Peter Strzok for 2.5 years, this is a viable accusation, when everyone behind them knew that they weren't, that there was not a scintilla of evidence of wrongdoing. In fact, Pete Strzok, the famous FBI agent, who he actually texts his colleagues at one point saying, there's no big there. They knew this was false. Nonetheless, they were able to get a 2.5-year investigation that failed to achieve Hillary Clinton's goal of stopping Donald Trump from becoming president, but succeeded in Democrats' goal in handicapping the president of the United States for the first 2.5 years of his term. The greatest political dirty trick, the greatest abuse, political abuse of the FBI I have ever chronicled in my career.
Wow, he did it. He did it. I wanted him to do it in 5 minutes. He did it. That is the best summary of the Russian collusion hoax. But You need to read the book. There's only a handful of tomes out there you need to read. There's one by Dan Bongino, but you also must read John's. It's called Fallout, Nuclear Bribes, Russian Spies, and the Washington Lies That Enrich the Clinton and Biden Dynasties. So, John, you've summarized superbly the Russia hoax, how law enforcement federally and the intelligence community was weaponized to use as a political weapon against the Trump campaign and then the Trump administration. We haven't even mentioned Mike Flynn and others. Let's talk about what happened to you, because your telling the truth has cost you. You are labeled in places like Wikipedia that are propaganda arms as somebody who promotes conspiracy theories, like my good friends Joe DeGeneva and Victoria Tansing, who, by the way, are committed to the truth as you are. So will you share a little of your personal story and why it doesn't stop you from doing what you continue to do, but on the converse, it actually energizes you?
Yeah, listen, I saw the profession evolving, and soon I realized that there were people, large numbers of people in these newsrooms that weren't concerned about what the facts were. They were concerned about what impact it would have, and whatever official Washington, the SWAT, wanted to do, get Donald Trump out, get Joe Biden in, they would sustain that in any way possible. The 2020 election was the ultimate manifestation of that. Most reporters knew, after I broke the stories in the Hill newspaper beginning in the summer of 2019, that what Hunter Biden did in Ukraine, shaking down a corrupt Ukrainian company for millions and millions of dollars of profit for him and his family, in an effort to keep them from being prosecuted, that was exactly what we would call influence peddling in America. It's the wrong thing. For a short while after I wrote it, the mainstream media chased my tail. They actually, the New York Times and ABC News, people can go back and look at this in the spring and summer of 2019, they verified all of my reporting. They were moving down the path of, oh my God, this is a big story. There might have been a big Russia-Ukraine scandal in the Democrats' backyard. And at some point, the Democrats turned on this story and said, no, we might need to preserve Joe Biden. And then the very same news institutions which had validated my reporting a few months earlier turned on me and called me a conspiracy theorist, that I had made up an entire false tale. Now, by the way, they never cited a single fact that was wrong. They would just make broad, sweeping statements. Lieutenant Colonel Vidman, one of the bureaucrats who testified at the impeachment trial, said there was nothing in my stories that was accurate, except maybe a few marks of punctuation. Now, that's a ridiculous statement to make. I've been a 31-year journalist. I've won every major award in journalism, do RFKs, a bunch of SBJs, you name them, I got them. But the entire establishment in Washington decided that the narrative of Joe Biden being corrupt had to be killed. And they did it. They did it with the impeachment. They did it by selling my name. Adam Schiff released my personal phone records to the public, suggesting that some of my contacts were a conspiracy to mislead the people. He never even interviewed me. If he had checked those phone contacts out that he said he had put out, he would have found out I was reporting on Russia stuff. At some point, the U.S. Attorney's Office asked me for information. And I said, you know what? I'm going to show you it. And they found out most of my information came from, the FBI. They stopped pursuing me like in 5 minutes. Like, oh, good. We don't want to know anymore. Thank you. Go away. But that storyline continued. They succeeded with the Ukraine impeachment to sully my name and sully Rudy Giuliani's name and Joe and Victoria Tensing by suggesting that the allegations against Hunter Biden were contrived. And they almost pulled it off. And then a funny thing happened just before election 2020. The darn Hunter Biden laptop got out there, and it kind of resurrected the whole story. And the entire establishment, the media, the fact checkers, the Washington Post, the New York Times, ABC News, CBS News, and 51 national security corps experts, people who had served George W. Bush, like Michael Hayden, the CIA, DIA director, wrote a letter saying the Hunter Biden laptop was disinformation. And anyone who dare report from that was castigated again, myself included, Miranda Devine included. The fact of the matter is, their letter actually said, we have no evidence of this. We just want to say it. They literally said that in it, but the media didn't cover that. Well, we did all the things that we needed to do. We went and got the FBI's handwriting analysis to say Hunter Biden signed that computer over. That's his signature signing it over to the repair shop. We went and talked to scores of Hunter Biden's partners and said, are these emails on this laptop yours? Yeah, I sent those. Those are all accurate. We verified that information. No matter what, the story that it was conspiracy theory and Russian disinformation was sustained well until after Joe Biden was successful in beating Donald Trump in the election. And then out of the blue, like this establishment media does often, like, oh, just like the Russian collusion, we're sorry, we got that wrong. That laptop, oh, it turns out to be true. We're going to start writing about it now, probably because they're frustrated that Joe Biden has turned out to be a disaster of a president. And they literally flipped the story on the head. Everything of mine that was disinformation going back to 2019 is now, oh, confirmed. It's true. And Joe Biden is a bad guy. There's a criminal investigation. It shows you the danger when Democrats, mainstream media, and bureaucrats work together in a unified effort. You can create false realities like Russia collusion, Hunter Biden laptop. But facts are a stubborn thing. And every time I got attacked, I just became more determined to set out there and show people these are real facts. I sued the government. We proved every single sentence of my Hunter Biden stories from 2019, 2020. And I actually put out a statement to Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who smeared me and said, just find any one of these facts I'm putting out. Tell me which one of these were wrong. He couldn't do it. He went. Well, he didn't do it. But, you know, that's what happens. If you decide to go against the corporate narrative and politics, you're going to get dirtied up. But you can beat it by sticking to the facts. Cash Patel did it. You did it. Donald Trump has done it effectively many times. Look at all the stories about Donald Trump that are wrong that were now, you know, that at the time were told to be conspiracy theories. Lafayette Park.
We'll talk about him in a moment, but yeah. I just want to observe right now that you were proved right, but none of the people who smeared you apologized to you. He's John Solomon. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We're coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included. Find out for yourself. Order the three-week quick starter pack right now for just $19.95 by going to ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. You deserve to find out if you could be the next success story. The only thing you have to lose is the pain. Call today, 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Now, John is so much a professional that he has assiduously, despite me being explicit in my last question, assiduously avoided talking about himself and what it was like to live through that. Now, I'm going to try one more time and then I'm going to move on. But having been in the arena myself, having had, you know, 52 attack pieces written against me by one journalist in 2 months, having my wife attacked, my 18-year-old son attacked in the pages of a quote-unquote publication. I'll ask one more time, what was it like for you to be smeared for 4 years and then this year to be proven right? Can you share a little something, John?
Yeah, you know, listen, I'll just share two anecdotes that I think people don't get to see. We're all humans at the end of the day. We have families. We have people around us that love us and care us. And it's horrible when you're put through the ringer like you were. There were two moments where I realized just how effective the false narrative had been. One was I came home one day in the fall of 2019 when the media were really pounding on me saying I'd made up this whole Hunter Biden story. And none of my neighbors would look at me. I've been friends with my neighbors. It's like, at the second I waved at them, they all turned away. I finally went over to one of my neighbors across the street and said, hey, what's going on? Did I do something? Did my lawn grow too long? Is there some bad smell coming out of my backyard? What's going on? He's like, well, some people came through in the neighborhood asking if you were a Russian spy. And they asked us, did you live above your means? They asked you all these questions like, who the hell was that? It was some people masquerading as reporters. We don't know who they were. But my neighbors were left with the distinct perception that I had been a spy for Russia. And that's why I wrote these horrible stories about Hunter Biden. Obviously, over time, we fixed that problem pretty quickly. If I hadn't noticed that my neighbors were shunning me, I might not have picked up on it. Another time, I was in a Lowe's hardware store. I was going to get some materials to do a quick home project, Weekend Warrior project. I have my son. My son is autistic. I'm very proud of him. I live with him. And great kid, my wife and I and son. And a man just came up to me in the store and started screaming and yelling at me, saying, how could you destroy Joe Biden? You are a bastard. He got me all sorts of, he made all sorts of terrible names. And my son, who's autistic, was completely shocked. He was quivering, afraid that I was going to be attacked. You know, we de-escalated, got out of the store. But I realized how much vitriol the false operation against me had created, that my neighbors were afraid to look at me. A man at a store wanted to scream and yell at me, didn't even realize my son being autistic was being affected by it. That's what happens. And this meanness that pervades Washington has human consequences. We were fine. I never doubted myself. My family never doubted me, and we got through it. But it does have an effect on winding up people. You see the person at Brett Kavanaugh's house that was one or two steps away from assassinating a Supreme Court justice, wound up by similar rhetoric. The guy who shot Steve Scalise on the baseball field in 17, 5 years ago this month. These are wound up by these false, mean narratives that the left has put out there. There has to be consequences. People have to realize they're putting people in danger with this sort of stuff.
Well, I want to recognize right now in front of 3 million listeners and however many people are going to watch this video stream, I commend you and I recognize your steadfastness and your courage in standing up for the truth. God bless you, John, and your whole family for supporting you. I'm going to be the Debbie Downer right now. I may be Hungarian, but I've got Hungarian blood in me, one of the most pessimistic nations in the world.
Absolutely.
You've been vindicated when it comes to the Hunter Biden story, Russia collusion, et al. But beyond that, it seems as if nothing is improving. In fact, it seems as if it's getting worse. Your comments about social media, right on the money. The mainstream media doesn't do journalism. It does what it thinks will trend on Twitter or what Twitter is telling them is important. And on top of that, with the calls from the government, from Obama and then the Biden White House for a disinformation governance board, for the calls just yesterday to have people censored because they may say something bad about the climate, John, are you feeling as if truth is winning or are the truth tellers being surrounded?
So I think there are two dynamics going on. I think official Washington and the swamp have doubled down on all of these un-American activities. I was with someone the other day who put it together really effectively. We live in an era where the Salem witch trials met the McCarthy hearings and met the lynch mobs of the Deep South. We have this incredible fervor of those three horrible moments in American history put into one. And anyone who dare challenges the narrative gets subjected to a blend of those three things. Interesting insights from a person who's been through something similar as you and I have. But, you know, the Washington is doubling down on these tactics. They're trying to. But the more they double down, the more the resilient American public is speaking back, whether it is moms and dads who have fought back in school districts saying, "You're not teaching my kid that," to voters in Virginia who flipped a blue state red, to the large group of people today that are fighting the false narrative of January 6th or Russia collusion. The majority of Americans, I think the silent majority that Ronald Reagan used to refer to, are more fervent in fighting for the America that we've been living in and not the one that the swamp wants to take us into. And I see these next two elections as being a watershed repudiation of what the swamp, the media, the Democrats, and the bureaucracy have created in Washington. The correction is at the ballot box. It's the way our founding fathers intended it. And I think the next two elections are going to be bellwether elections, a repudiation of all of these un-American activities that the swamp has imposed on the American people. You know, the truth of the matter is, it's a small percentage that have controlled this narrative and tried to punish anyone who wants to exercise their first and second and third and fourth. It's a small number. The vast majority of Americans are against it, and they're rising up now, and they're going to do it peacefully at the ballot box. That's what's going to happen.
But it looks, given what the January 6th witch hunt has done in the last 2 weeks, as if the political elite has learned nothing from their attempted fleecing of the American people, John.
Listen, I think there's a great story to be learned in Twitter. I have like 900,000 people on Twitter. I have 400,000 on Truth. The 400,000 on Truth are engaged in my stories and driving traffic and discussion all day long. The 900 on Twitter aren't. You know why? Most of the 900,000 left Twitter a long time ago. They rejected the censorship and folly of Twitter. These are hollow institutions that are carrying this out. Twitter
That's
doesn't
good.
Have the audience. We're That's winning. Good. Because people are voting with their feet and their hands and their social media allegiances.
It's not a groundbreaking, earth-shattering news story, but I see an op-ed in John's Future about hollow institutions, because I think he's right. I didn't even know you were on Truth Social. Is it Jay Solomon Reports there as well?
It is. Yes.
All right, guys.
A wonderful, vibrant community.
I'm going to go and follow him right now. My gosh, that's amazing. Dear friends, if you own your home or any other property, here are two reasons that you never want to become a victim of home title fraud. Number one, when a cyber criminal sneaks his way onto your home's title, they'll take out loan after loan on your equity. Then they vanish, and it's you who has to prove that you didn't commit fraud. Second, you could be a victim of home title fraud without even knowing it, because when they forge your title electronically, no agency says, hey, did you sell your home? So nobody knows more about stopping these people than Home Title Lock, America's trusted leader. Go to Home Title Lock right now. Read the testimonials from retired FBI agents and others. Then register your home address to see if you've already become a victim. And then use my name, G-O-R-K-A, for 30 days free protection. HomeTitleLock.com. Unless you're Hunter Biden, you've got a couple of kilos of cocaine under the bed. Your home is the most valuable thing you own. Protect it with your life. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and put an electronic fence around your home. That's HomeTitleLock.com, code G-O-R-K-A. Okay, John, I often like to give our listeners a little bit of homework at the end of our interviews, and thank you for taking the time today. First things first, what is your advice to those crazy people in their 20s who want to try and become real journalists? And then secondly, beyond justthenews.com and Salem, what advice do you give people who want to avoid the fake news? What should they rely upon?
Yeah, those are two great questions. Now, listen, the first thing is the profession of journalism has always been best when it stuck to facts and got out of opinion, when it was neutral rather than one-sided. And I think that Americans are leaving in large numbers the traditional news media because they can see what it is, what it's become, which is it's become a new opinion, opinion masquerading as news. And so if you want to be an effective journalist in the next generation of journalism, go back to fact, be transparent, put your documents up like I do on Just the News, let people see and make up their own mind and stop trying to make up their mind for them. As for the rest of the American people, listen, in order to get an honest assessment of what's going on, you have to be a 360-degree reader. Hey, I watch CNN, I watch Fox News, I read my site. You have to read lots of different things, get a 360 view, much like intelligence analysts do, and then come to a conclusion. It's no longer okay to say, the New York Times reported it. Must be New York Times reported those lottery milk allegations we talked about at the beginning of this interview. They were false. The New York Times, CNN, and Washington Post were all wrong. So you have to get a 360 view. I read lots of different publications and sites and listen to podcasts. The more 360 you do, the more likely you are to be a fully educated, informed voter. And that's the best two advices I can give.
Fabulous. Be informed. We know what the left is saying. The left has no idea what we are saying. JustTheNews.com, Jay Solomon Reports on Twitter, on Truth Social. And the book is Fallout, Nuclear Bribes, Russian Spies, and the Washington Lies that Enriched the Clinton and Biden Dynasties. If you haven't done so already, it is the most popular political documentary in over a decade. More than 1 million downloads in the first 6 days. More than 100,000 DVDs mailed out already. It is Dinesh D'Souza's 2,000 Mules. They couldn't debunk it. Liz Cheney attacking it is the best reason you need to watch it. Watch it today. Buy a DVD for your friends. Go to salemnow.com. I am vested in this because this is such an important project, because we have to have clean elections in this country. Watch 2,000 Mules today. Share it with your friends. Go to salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, and 2,000 Mules produced by the Salem Media Group. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people...
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Our founding fathers here in this country brought about the only true revolution that has ever taken place in man's history. Every other revolution simply exchanged one set of rulers for another set of rulers. But only here did that little band of men so advanced beyond their time that the world has never seen their like since evolve the idea that you and I have within ourselves the God-given right and the ability to determine our own destiny. But freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free. Thank you.
Why would it be any other way? That, of course, was Ronald Reagan, the 40th president of the United States. Not really warning us, just making a very factual statement. Welcome, friends. This is America First. The statement was that the loss of liberty is always possible. Why? Because, as he said, we don't pass liberty on to our progeny in the bloodstream. Liberty is something that can be lost. Liberty is something that must be striven for, must be fought for, generation after generation. Why would it be any other way? Especially in an age where moral relativism is commonplace, you can have somebody else's ideology pushed upon you simply because they deem it to be right. As such, your liberties are endangered. Last night, thanks to the people at the Daily Wire, after I interviewed Michael Knowles, I was sent a screening link to the new film, What is a Woman, by Matt Walsh. We will be interviewing Mr. Walsh in the coming days. Everybody, I know it's another company, it doesn't matter. Everybody needs to see this film. It is an analysis of the transgender ideology, the extremism that is being foisted upon minors, on young children as we speak. Whilst I am on the air, there will be children who are being given in their teens, as young as 5, 6, 7, 8, hormone therapies to try and revert them or change them from one sex to another, which is impossible. They will be given puberty blockers that they are told will suspend puberty, but will actually destroy that human being's capacity to be fruitful. And worst of all, there are doctors, people with medical licenses, that are mutilating children as we speak, removing their sexual organs, removing the breasts of pubescent girls in some deranged, demonic plan to try and give them happiness. Matt Walsh interviews these individuals. He talks to a transitioned doctor that is doing this. He talks to a woman who is an abortionist, who at the same time as being an abortionist is helping children destroy themselves. Now, I shouldn't need to say this, but this is a message first for the children or even the adults who are contemplating this. Mutilating your body will never make you happy. Whether it's somebody that's cutting themselves, whether it's somebody that's forcing themselves to vomit after every meal, doing unnatural things to your body will not improve your situation. Making yourself sterile will not lead to happiness. There is a reason that almost 50% of those who transition, I don't even want to use that word, who are mutilated by the medical profession, will consider suicide within 7 years of the operation. There's no reversing it. If you remove your breasts, if your penis is removed surgically to create another sexual organ, which they never succeed in doing, you cannot undo that. You are forever sterile and trapped in a mutilated body. The second thing I should not need to say in any normal functioning society is that any adult that provides chemicals to a child that will chemically castrate them or performs surgeries on them that mutilates that child should be arrested, should be charged with child abuse and mutilation, and should go to prison for the rest of their natural lives. Whether they are board certified or not, they have forsaken the very first oath they took as medical professionals, the ancient Greek Hippocratic Oath. If you are giving medical aid to somebody, first, do no harm. Sterilizing a child, mutilating a child, can never, ever be justified under the Hippocratic Oath. Why are they doing this? Why the drag queen story hours, the drag queen children's entertainment in Texan bars? Because this is part and parcel of a very old ideology. It is the left's attempt to deconstruct and destroy the family. Talking to minors about sex, about their gender, should be a crime. Its goal is to separate them from their parents. When a teacher, a counselor, a doctor, a health professional says, "Oh, are you feeling troubled, Susie? Do you feel different, Johnny? Maybe it's because you're not a girl and you're not a boy." Don't talk about it with your parents. Let me help you. That has one goal: to destroy the building blocks of our civilization. The most safe place for a child is in the family. If you can rent asunder the natural bonds between a child and her mother, a child and his father, then that human being will be susceptible to your ideology. We must stop it. Every civilization is measured by how it treats the most vulnerable, meaning the unborn, children, and the aged. We will be judged one day by our Creator for what we did to protect our own children. We will stop them. We must stop them. I'm Sebastian Gorka. former strategist to the President of the United States. This is America First on the Salem News Network. Be sure that you are subscribed. Go to your favorite platform. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name. Plug in America First. It's absolutely free. Share the links. Never miss an episode. Write a review. It helps. I'll be back with our first guest after these messages.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.